in the with the letter of 3 John, as we continue our study through John's epistles, having looked at 2 John and now beginning John's third letter. This morning we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 4 of this short epistle. And I'll read verses 1 through 4 of 3 John. The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell of your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. This ends our reading of God's Word. Let us once pray again and seek His blessing. Our Heavenly Father, may You, Lord, pour Your blessing upon the preaching of Your Word this morning by opening up our eyes and our ears and our hearts and minds to Your truth so that we may understand and take to heart, Lord, what You would teach us. And Father, we pray that You would be with my mind and mouth and give me clarity of thought as I proclaim Your truth. And in Jesus' holy name we ask this. Amen. Prosperity is something in our culture that is probably on the front minds of many people throughout our land, especially in such difficult and sometimes strenuous economic situations as we have in our country today. The idea of prosperity is at the forefront of a lot of people's minds. And in our culture, especially one driven by materialism in many ways, prosperity is even more at the forefront of our minds. How can we accumulate as much as we possibly can? As a saying goes, he who dies with most toys wins. Or rather, I prefer the variation of that. You die with most toys, still dies. But prosperity is at the forefront of most of our minds. And our Lord Jesus Christ speaks about physical prosperity or material prosperity here in this life. In Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21, this is Christ's parable of the rich fool, as it's entitled in many of our translations. This parable, the rich fool, reaped a wonderful crop, so much so that he didn't have enough room in his current barns and grain silos to store all that he had. So he tore down his old ones, built new, bigger ones, and was just going to live at ease for the rest of his days and eat, drink, and be happy. And then God's response is, "You fool. For this very night your soul will be required of you. And who will then enjoy all of your surplus or abundance?" And Christ ends that section by saying, "This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God." And this is a point Christ was making. It's not that material possessions are wrong, but the pursuit of them at the cost of anything. The pursuit of material prosperity at the cost of anything, we will lose everything. We will be poor towards God, but we must be rich towards Him. And John addresses the idea of real prosperity that we are to pursue in these verses this morning. The prosperity of our souls. This is what John brings to mind here in these verses. And so the theme we're going to look at this morning in the outline is that we are to walk in the truth for our souls to prosper. Again, walk in the truth for your soul to prosper. And I realize in the bulletins, or in the insert in the bulletins, you may be wondering what HP stands for instead of theme. It's a cut and paste error. That's a big abbreviation for homiletical point. So it's not Hewlett-Packard or anything like that. But The theme, long way of saying theme, is to walk in the truth for your soul to prosper. And so as we begin to look at these verses, the first point, John greets Gaius whom he loves in the truth. Again, John greets Gaius whom he loves in the truth. John writes, "The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth." And then verse 2 starts, "Dear friend." First of all, who is this Gaius? We have heard this name elsewhere in the New Testament. Acts 19 and Acts 20 speak of a Gaius. Romans 16 also speaks of a Gaius. But it's not necessarily true that this Gaius is the same Gaius as we read earlier. Gaius was actually a very common name, believe it or not. Very common. Many men had this name at this day and age. And so we don't really know who this man is. And this could quite possibly be the only time we hear of him. So all that we know about this Gaius is here in this letter that John has written to him. But one thing that we do know is that he was a faithful brother. We learn that from this letter. He was faithful in what he did. So he was a faithful brother and a dear friend of John. And this phrase, "dear friend," is literally beloved. So this could be translated to "my beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth." And then verse 2, beginning at "beloved." This is a dear friend that John truly loved. He cared for deeply. And we can see in verse 4, John considered him his child, a spiritual child of the Apostle John, whom he loved very deeply. But this opening is quite similar to 2 John that we just finished looking at a few weeks ago. In 2 John, you see there, the elder writes a letter to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. Not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth, which lives in us and will be with us forever. And although these greetings are similar, 2 John, as we learned, was written to a church body, the chosen lady and her children. This letter, 3 John, is written to a specific person, to this man Gaius, this beloved Gaius. But like the church that he wrote to in 2 John, he loves this Gaius in the truth. And we learn in 2 John that this truth is what lives in us and is with us forever. It is the truth that binds us. It is the truth of the gospel, quite simply. It is the truth that our Lord and Savior left the realms of glory and came to earth, suffered and died under the law as a punishment for our sins, and defeated death and sin, and was raised from the grave and now sits on high at the Father's right hand. It is this gospel truth that our Lord and Savior came in the flesh that unites believers everywhere. I was reminded of an earthly example of this union that believers share this past week as the baseball playoffs started. I got to catch the end of the San Francisco Giants and Atlanta Braves game that was on Thursday night. And the pitcher for the Giants, can't remember his name, but he had a complete game. By the end of the game, everybody was standing on their feet, cheering, waving their orange scarves, rejoicing with one another. And I began to think, those thousands of people there at that game, they've probably never seen the people around them ever before in their life. And yet there they are, united in their common bond of love of the San Francisco Giants, rejoicing with one another, lifting up their hands, praising, shouting, just enjoying life together. This is an example of the bond that we have as Christians. We are united by the truth. It is the truth that we are to celebrate together. It is the truth that brings us together here this morning. It is the truth that when we go somewhere on the other side of the world, we can rejoice with brothers and sisters, even though we've never met them before. This is the truth that binds us, and John's love is grounded in this truth, the truth of the gospel. Love apart from truth is far too soft. And likewise, truth apart from love is far too hard. It is the truth in love that Christians share together and are to exhibit towards one another. And this is what John shows this morning, his love of Gaius, grounded in the truth. And likewise, our love for one another must also be grounded in the truth which unites us. The second thing we'll look at this morning is that John prays for Gaius to prosper, to be in good health, even as his soul prospers. John's prayer for Gaius is that he is to prosper and to be in good health, even as his soul prospers. Now, this greeting, much like the greeting of 2 John, is very common to greetings in letters in this day and age. In fact, greetings of this sort, wishing the prosperity and the good health of the recipient, was so common that in Latin there was a six-letter abbreviation where they took the first letters of each of the words in their sentence and just put them together, and that's all they would write. And I'm not going to try and repeat this Latin phrase to you because I would completely butcher it. But it was so common that all they had to do was write this acronym, and people would immediately understand. And so this is a common pattern that John is following, wishing the health and prosperity upon Gaius. There is an important difference. There is an important difference in this greeting, in that he wishes and prays for health and prosperity for Gaius, even as his soul prospers. That is literally what is meant here, as the NIV translates it, that all may go well with you, or even as your soul is getting along well. That Gaius would prosper as his soul prospers. One thing that's important to point out here is that John is not advocating the health and wealth gospel. This is not what John is advocating here, that as Christians we should pray for physical and material blessings, because this is what God, after all, has promised his people. The truth is that Jesus has promised his people quite the opposite. He said that the world will hate you. The world will despise you. You will have suffering in this life. His disciples must carry their cross daily and follow him. Now, it doesn't mean that we can't pray for the health and the prosperity of our brothers and sisters. Of course we can, as John does here. But I think it's important to point out, as some misuse this text in saying that in support of the health and wealth gospel, which is truly from the fires of hell itself. It is a false gospel. What John is praying here for, and what truly I find remarkable, is that Gaius would prosper and be in good health as his soul prospers. You know, it's much like when we would say to an athlete, or especially someone in track, you know, run like the wind. May you run in a way like the wind. You know, may you be so fast, so swift. It's like a wind flying by. The comparison there, running like the wind. The comparison here is that Gaius would be of good health and prosper as his soul prospers. And what this drives us to do and implants upon our minds is this question: how was Gaius' soul prospering? I mean, why is it that John wishes him health in proportion to the prosperity and health of his soul? I mean, how was his soul prospering so well? Well, in our third point this morning, this prosperity of soul comes from his walking in the truth, for which John rejoices greatly. The prosperity of Gaius' soul comes from his walking in the truth, for which John rejoices greatly. The verses 3 and 4 give us the reason why Gaius' soul was prospering. And if you read along with me in 3 John verse 3, it gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. These verses are really a parallel. John twice says that it gives him great joy. And it gives him great joy that Gaius is remaining faithful or walking in the truth. Now, verse 4 here is a very familiar verse. It is a verse that many Christians know by heart. I have no greater joy than to hear of my children walking in the truth. And one of the things that writers of this time, and the way that the Greek was used, is that when a word wanted to be emphasized, a lot of the times they would place it at the end of a phrase. And so a very wooden and very literal translation of this verse is the following. Greater than this, not I have joy, that I hear my children in the truth walking. Again, greater than this, not I have joy, that I hear my children in the truth walking. It's in many ways gibberish to us, something that you might hear Yoda speak. But notice what John is emphasizing here. There's joy in the first phrase. And in the second phrase, walking. In the truth, walking. We understand what John is saying here. This is something that is very true to us and that we really feel ourselves when we see our children walking in the truth. We understand the joy that John has in seeing this, and the great joy and the emphasis on joy in walking in the truth. But what's interesting is how it ties to the previous verse. These are the reasons for Gaius prospering. He is walking in the truth. That is how his soul prospers. And something that's, I think, important for us to realize is that what we believe is truth will guide our every action. Again, what we hold to as truth will guide every action. Everything that we do, everything that we think, everything that we speak will come from and flow out of what we hold as truth. By way of illustration, I invite you to look at every fruit-bearing tree or plant. An orange tree will produce nothing but oranges. An apple tree will produce nothing but apples. Grapevines will produce nothing but grapes. These plants will only produce the fruit that they are supposed to produce. Deep down inside, there is the truth that I am an orange tree, and so I produce oranges. Deep down inside, there's the truth that I am a grapevine, so I produce grapes. And I invite you then to look at John 15. This is where Jesus uses that great illustration that I have, or analogy that I've used many times before, of him being the true vine, we are the branches. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing, he says. What does he mean by that phrase? Apart from Christ, you can do nothing. What it means is that apart from Christ, we can do nothing to save ourselves. We can do nothing to prosper our souls. This morning, or today, there's a group that is collecting socks for the homeless. It is entitled Sock to the Homeless. Now, there are no doubt going to be many people that bring socks for the homeless, or donate things to meet their provisions that do not know Christ. This is a good work that they are doing. But how does it prosper their soul? We cannot perform good works to earn our salvation or to prosper our soul. It is only by being grafted into Christ. As Christ says in John 15, that if my words abide in you, or if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. We can only accomplish any good in this life, any good for our own souls, through our being united to and engrafted into Christ, through faith in him alone by God's grace alone. John, or Jesus, says in his high priestly prayer, At John 17, verse 17, he asks the Father to sanctify his disciples by the truth. And then he says, your word is truth. The truth that we are to be engrafted into, the truth that is to reside in us, the truth that we are to stand upon and to remain firm upon, the truth that will keep us immovable and united is God's word, this truth. In this truth, we learn about the gospel. In this truth, we find the special revelation of God, letting us know how we can be saved and redeemed as his people. And it is this truth, this precious gospel truth, that unites us. And it is walking according to this truth that leads to the prosperity of our souls. And what does walking according to the truth mean but simply that it encompasses every aspect of our being, every aspect of our lives, that we live according to this word. And this is a large book with many words in it. It takes a long time to read. And sometimes you wonder, what exactly is God mean by saying this? You don't really quite understand it. But Christ made it actually quite simple for us. He says that the entire law and the prophets hang on two commandments. To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And to love your neighbor as yourself. In these two commands, the entire beautiful truth of God's word is summed up. And by reading his word, by meditating on it, by even reading the most difficult passages, we will grow in our understanding of how to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. We will grow in our understanding of how to love our neighbor as ourselves. The Lord gives us all that we need to know regarding our salvation and how to live a life worthy of him in his truth. He has not left anything out that we need to know. And do you think that the eternal God of heaven, creator of heaven and earth, would leave out any truth that we needed in order for us to be redeemed and saved? This canon has been closed. That's a fancy word for it. His book has been closed. There's nothing more he needs to tell us. He has told us everything and written it down for us and preserved it so that we would have it before us throughout the ages until he comes again. And by walking according to this truth, our souls will prosper. There are certain ways that we can live which will lead to material prosperity. But what about the soul? Will we sacrifice everything to gain the whole world and yet forfeit our souls? We must follow God's commands in his word. Those simple commands of loving the Lord with all of our heart, every ounce of our being, and our neighbor as ourselves. Digging into his truth, meditating upon it, memorizing it, reading it daily, even if it's simply a verse at a time, reading it daily. We will grow. We will be strengthened. We will bear fruit. The Lord will prune away from us what is holding us back, and he will give us the freedom to bear the fruit that he desires us to bear. And so, like Gaius, how do our souls prosper? Our souls prosper by walking in the truth. And so, brothers and sisters, I say to each and every one of us, and as one of our associate pastor back in Pittsburgh would always say, whenever there's a finger pointing at you, there's four or five, let me count right, three pointing back at me. We are to walk in the truth for our souls to prosper. Again, walk in the truth for your soul to prosper. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your truth. Lord, your truth is what sanctifies us. As our Lord and Savior cried out to his Father, sanctify them, sanctify my disciples, sanctify your people by your truth. And your word is truth. Lord, may we be in your word daily. But may we not be those who merely look at ourselves in a mirror and then forget. But may we look at ourselves in the mirror of your truth, and may it change our lives. May we remember, and may we live according to your word, walking in the truth. And by doing so, Lord, our souls will grow, our souls will prosper, and people will be able to pray of us. May you be prosperous and in good health, even as your soul prospers. And may this, Lord, be a prayer prayed for each and every one of us here. And in Jesus' holy name we ask this. Amen.